and break the whites into a little entering bowl.
Into the soup, the most fun you'll have in your kitchen with your clothes on. It's about jumping in, getting your hands dirty, and getting off of the recipe page. We take a bite out of life and we live in the now. Blazing trails, meeting characters, sharing stories, and making things happen. So open your ears and close your mouth, and let's get into the soup with Heidi Lee.
Hey there, boys and girls. This is Heidi Lee, and you are into the soup right here on KWSS 93.9. My rockin' radio redhead is with me.
Toodaloo!
Toodaloo! You're just going to make all sorts of noises with those new headphones, aren't you?
I sound so good.
Do you? How do I sound?
Crystal clear.
Those are so cool looking.
I'm excited to go look at myself in the mirror.
Well, I have to tell you, so I was at the Peddler's Son show a couple of weeks ago, and I never win anything. And the raffle, you know, pulled my raffle number. And I walk up and they're like, here's your headphones. And I'm like, whoa. And she goes, yeah. She goes, these are like the hottest thing on the market. So I went and checked them out and they're worth a pretty penny. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't get Emily a birthday present. So
happy birthday.
Like Craigslist, Emily, Craigslist. The last time I won something, well, I actually have a GoPro camera and a Nest thermostat, and I was just like, what am I going to do with this? I don't do extreme sports or anything like that, so I'm trying to sell them on Craigslist.
Oh,
very difficult.
Really?
Like couches, beds, I've sold very easily, but this is just, I got to keep reposting.
Well, okay, so Emily has some crap for sale. If anybody wants it, you can just reach her at intothesoup.com. Yeah, so last week was the Taco Festival.
Which I miss.
I'm so full.
Are you still full?
Well, I mean, we had a lot of tacos. We tasted, it was kind of like, you know, if you're doing a tasting and a judging competition, you just like take a bite of an omelet and then spit the rest of it in a bucket because mm-hmm. there's no way you can taste 140 omelets, right? But I didn't do that with the tacos.
I wouldn't either. It's my most favorite food.
It was really fun. It was hot. Because you were sitting and standing in the sun, and but people had a great time. You know, they didn't overdo, didn't see a lot of, you know, the bouncing off the wall kind of walking. So that was cool.
So my favorite part, because I edited the show, and after the tail end of the first segment, you just randomly hear, and I'm going to cut it out and put it in this show just so everyone can hear. I want to draw attention to it.
But cocktails.
Obviously, somebody has. Somebody had indulged in a little too much tequila because you just hear this lady in the background. She's like, "Are these tacos?"
Really? Did you not put that in the show?
No, it's in the show.
Oh, okay.
But I'm gonna amplify it so everyone can.
Okay. I think that's hilarious. Yeah. No, it was really a lot of fun. They did a good job with 15,000 people at an event. So I hope. Do we have a time crunch, Mark Tarbell?
No, we don't.
You are all good?
We are all good. I just changed my crunch.
You changed
white to slate clean for us. Amazing.
Yeah.
What
a host.
I know, right? Okay, so I'm going to lift this up because it's easier. So we thought there was going to be a time crunch, so we didn't do the initial thing. So Emily and I usually open the show with some little banter about what's been going on, what we've been doing. If you want to pop in with any, you know, smart remarks, a funny joke, you're welcome to do that.
Awesome.
So we are here at Tarbell's with Mark Tarbell. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great, Heidi.
Thank you. The last time I had you on my show was when we roasted Bo.
I know.
Remember that? That was the end of 2011.
Let's roast him again.
I think we should.
I think so.
Wouldn't
was so much fun.
It was
absolutely
hilarious. But you know who wouldn't come on was Chuck Wiley.
He wouldn't?
No, he was like, I would feel mean. I know. Like, you don't have to be mean.
That message to Chuck, you're a chef.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
Gordon Ramsay said it's okay to be mean.
Oh, so that's okay then?
Well, he made it okay.
He made it okay, because he's a god.
Or you could talk to Chef Matt Fenton.
Yeah.
He's not actually mean.
Are you mean? You're not mean.
No, not at all.
You don't look mean.
No.
He's intense.
Yeah.
He's intense?
Intimidating. That's my game.
Is that your game?
Yeah.
With that pompadour you got going on there?
Yeah.
Is that
it
makes you a little taller?
Because
you don't need that. Is it the
look at the eyes, yeah.
Adds a couple inches, yeah.
The steely blues, is that you get him with that? My dad had that kind of eyes. Scared the crap out of me.
Yep. That's what I'm known for. That's what I'm known for.
And the ambiguous emotional expression on his face.
Like, why the hell are you doing this?
Yes.
You don't even have to say it.
They call it the Chef Matt stare. They know what it's all about.
Seriously?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, wow.
It has a name.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Who have you scared lately? I don't intimidate
it just happens
though.
Naturally. You know?
It doesn't even mean it. Like, his mind is in Disneyland and he looks at you and everyone's like, what did I do?
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Are any of you guys fishermen?
Hunters? No, not really.
No. Okay.
Sometimes. I love to fish.
I have fish, and I like to do it, but you know, fishermen are serious.
Oh, okay. So my boyfriend is a fisherman, Flagstaff. That's what everybody knows him as because that's where he lives. And we took a little trip to Idaho about 3 weeks ago. And he's a fly fisherman. And they're even more intense than other types of wranglers.
Yeah, it's the most serious zen-like sport I've ever seen. I mean, people are crazy about it. But it's zen-like, but it's a serious.
It is a zen-like thing. And he says, well, the most important thing about it is just being here in nature. And I'm like, right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Does he really like the movie A River Runs Through It? Is
he
that
does.
The name of it?
He does. And it's actually, I just Googled it to make sure. Although the book and the movie are set in Missoula, which is where we landed because we flew Allegiant coming out of Mesa. It's just like, for the two of us, round trip was $250. That's a pretty good deal. We were 3 hours from our destination, but it's some of the most beautiful country. Gorgeous. And I grew up in that neck of the woods.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
In Montana?
No, I grew up in, we actually spent time in Idaho. Oh,
okay.
But I grew up in Washington State, so all around there is kind of connected, Washington.
And similar.
And northern topography. Idaho. Northern Idaho is very different than southern Idaho.
Yes.
Lots and lots of water.
Gorgeous.
And at one point I said, 32. And he's like, what? And I said, every time you say, man, that's some big water.
30-second time?
Yeah, so just like constantly, I told him, I'm like, okay, I'm driving, because his head was turning side to side, because we followed a river all the way, you know, all the way into Idaho. And I'm like, you're going to drive us off the road. And I'm like, I grew up here, so let me drive, and then you can look. And it was like a dog leaning out the window. And I haven't fly fished in a long, long time.
Was his tongue doing that thing?
It was pretty much. It was pretty much. I got like zero attention. Yeah. I had to rein him back. He's like, I really am kind of reined in here. And I'm like, wow. It's kind of scary. But so River Runs Through It, the book and the movie are situated in Missoula, but that's not where they filmed it.
Yes.
It isn't where they filmed it. So
where did they film it?
On the Black, that was in central Montana near Bozeman.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's correct.
Yes.
You know your facts.
Jeez. I just Googled it right when I got here because I wanted to be sure because it's in my notes.
Okay.
Oh, guess what, Mark?
A researcher.
You have an IMDb.
I do?
Did you find it too?
Were you aware of that?
I was not aware of that.
You made it big.
Wow.
Yeah, you're known for 86th.
Okay, well, that's funny.
That's funny, yeah. Yes. And I actually...
What else?
You're in the trailer. Iron Chef.
Iron Chef and Supermatch, is that on there yet?
Supermatch?
I was in that documentary on Chef Gordon.
Oh, I don't think so.
Mike Myers said it.
I didn't see it. Oh, I didn't see it. That's another,
no big deal.
Another plug for me.
I Googled my name on IMDb, and apparently I'm in a band called Death.
Really?
Heidi Simpson Lee. I'm like, oh, okay.
You are. Something we didn't know about you.
You know, that's interesting. We'll just play along here. So anyway, Northern Idaho is absolutely stunning. We stayed at Schweitzer Basin. A friend of mine, Don Miller Dempsey, has a rescue farm out there. And so we went and spent some time with them and checked out all of the animals that she takes care of and stood in the middle of the North Coeur d'Alene. I didn't get a fly rod, but I got a spinning rod. And I hadn't fished for years. Felt like a little kid. The water was up to your knees. He had wets on, and I'm like, I'm kind of cold. But the salmon, the Chinook salmon were running, and they would just, like, go right past you.
Yeah. Did they keep going, or did you hook one?
No, he was telling me that they won't eat because they're getting ready to spawn.
Oh, okay.
So their whole, you know...
They're on a mission.
Heading upriver.
Is it illegal? There's some kind of you're not allowed to get them when they're going upriver, are you?
I'm not. Only down. I'm not the fisher person, so you can probably hook one. You just can't keep them.
Oh.
Yeah, but he caught 5 cutthroats that he never caught a cutthroat before. They're a beautiful fish, and other couple of kinds of fishes that I forgot. But it was pretty fascinating to stand there. It was gorgeous weather. All the trees are turning, and the water was shallow enough and cool enough that he didn't, you know. Roast because it was warm. So anyway, that was a lot of fun.
Beautiful.
What was I gonna? I was gonna tell you something.
I don't know.
And I forget. Oh, I know. So we've got kind of a few things in common because I stalked you for a while. Because that's what I have to do anymore
that's
these
your
days.
Job.
You are a musician.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yes, I like to play guitar.
Okay. Did you jam with Sammy Hagar when you fed him dinner?
No. I have been in the studio and play guitar near him. How's that? But we haven't actually jammed together. I have played with Alice Cooper and Nils Lofgren once, which was because I paid him.
That's not him.
Not really. But I took up the guitar. I was a guitarist a little bit when I was a kid, but always acoustic and classical. And then I guess about 5 years ago, I decided I really liked or wanted to try to play electric. And so I have been playing a bit.
Good for you.
Yes, it's been fun.
Keyboards, guitar.
Keyboards, good.
Vocals.
Yeah, need keyboards.
Yeah, keyboards. It was a lot of fun. You're a sailor.
Yes, I am.
And that's where I first cut my chef teeth was on sailboats.
Really?
And that's what you did too, right? Did you? Well, you went to tall ships after you went to school.
I did, but I didn't cook on the tall ship.
Oh,
I was,
you did?
I was a cadet. I was, you know, basically you just work and, you know, climb the masts and repair ropes and,
like,
you know, full sails and,
yeah,
scurry
things,
up those
yeah.
things. You know, yeah, we had a really, we were in a very severe storm in the North Sea.
Wow.
And we got blown around for a few days, like 5 or 6 days. And the North Sea is very shallow, so the waves are very, you know, very choppy. They get very,
right.
and they're close together. So it was really dramatic. And the boat was probably 215 feet long, and which isn't a big boat. I mean, for a tall ship, but,
right?
It was one of the smaller ones, but it the bow would go kind of in, and the stern would come out of the water, and the stern would come out of the water. And the bow, you know, it was very bad. And I don't.
That would have scared the crap out.
I don't get seasick, so 70% of the cadets were sick, so I had to work a lot, which I didn't mind, actually.
You could have faked it.
Why would you get into that? Like, if you get seasick.
Well, when it's real, it was real bad. And then when someone down below gets sick, you know.
It kind of spreads.
Chain.
Yeah, I've never been seasick, but I did sail across the Atlantic.
Oh, well, wow.
On a 76-foot swan.
Did you get stuck in any storms?
No, we were in the middle of a Mistral. We were in the middle of it. We motored most of the way.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah, so we didn't get a lot of wind, but we got boosted right when we came through Gibraltar, and we were doing about probably 12 knots.
That's fast.
On a broad reach, yeah.
You were scooting.
We were scooting. It was a lot of fun.
That
and there's
fun.
A lot of big ships out there.
Yeah, that don't really know or care that you're there.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really, but it was a lot of fun. I want to see what else I put here real quick, and then we'll say hi to Matt.
That's a lot of looking at nothing, isn't it, out there in the ocean?
You know, it is. But one night, I was doing the 3-6 watch, and you have a partner, and he was snoozing. And so I saw this phosphorescence come across the starboard side of the boat. And I'm like, okay, I think I know what this is, but I'm going to check it out. So I just turned it on Otto von Helm because I didn't want him to come with me. And didn't do the safe thing, which was to tie myself onto the line. And it was a big, huge pool of dolphins.
Wow.
And they were racing the boat. And in at night, this phosphorescence glows. And it looks like, you know, just these beautiful
streaks,
diamond bubbles everywhere.
Yeah.
How cool.
And so I went to the bow of the boat, and I looked over, and they were looking up.
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest moments ever.
Yeah, dolphins are cool.
It was pretty amazing. It was a great trip. I mean, you have to do a lot of writing and reading and all this kind of stuff. So, what did I say? Oh, little, little, little. Okay, that's pretty much it. And you're a world traveler, so I've done that of that too. Did you climb the Matterhorn?
Yes, I did.
You did? Dude.
Yes. Yeah. You know, it looks so pretty and cute at Disneyland. You know, I thought, well, this won't be that hard. You know, I wanted to do it since I was 10. So, I attempted to go and do it, I think, 2 or 3 times prior to the one I actually did the ascent, but it's all about weather, you know, and you can't go during icing and, you know, conditions that are bad, of course. And it's a very precipitous mountain that is in the middle. There's really nothing around it, so it gets the weather really kind of hits it pretty hard. But I never had, I still didn't have a lot of respect for it until I did it. And I was like, this is hard.
What's the elevation?
And if you, it's only 14,000 something,
okay.
But it's tall because there's nothing around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes 2 days. You have to go to the first hut and sleep overnight, get up at 3 a.m, then do the ascent and come back down.
Wow.
But so you start the first part of the actual ascent in the dark with a headlamp. And it was challenging.
I bet.
And what's really scary is at the top, there's sort of a very steep, flat sort of ice pack, you know, that you kind of scramble up to go to the top. And if you slip off, it literally is Italy, you know, when you land. Yeah, it's.
I just slipped off in Italy.
And you just have crampons, and I had this young guy who was really ambitious. And
How old were you when you did that?
I don't know, 38 or something.
Okay.
Yeah, 30, 40, I don't know, 50.
Remember exactly how old I was if I'd made that kind
of
climb.
I must have been 40, 42.
Okay. Yeah. Good for you. Have you ever climbed a mountain?
No, never.
Have you ever fished in a river?
No ambition. Yes, fish, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. Where have you fished?
The Yampa River in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah, I have family out there. It's
nice.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I haven't been to that river. The San Juan in Pagosa? Yeah, is it really pretty? There's a lot of fly fishermen out there, and they hate it when the tubers come by in the summer.
Yeah,
like not catching anything today. How are we doing on time?
Oh, wrapping up.
Okay, so she's like, Emily's got her new headphones on. Emily's just like, so whatever. Happy. We got to take a picture.
Yeah, nice.
Are those awesome?
I told Hattie I'm just going to wear them all the time.
Yeah,
pretend she's jamming
like my headband.
Yeah, they're a lovely accessory. I didn't get her anything for like 2 years in a row for her birthday, so, you know, I kind of owed her one. Okay, so this is Heidi Lee. You're Into the Soup. We'll be back in just a minute with Chefs Matt Fenton and Mark Tarbell. Don't go away.
Thank you, Ty.
Thank you, ladies.
It was
you have
very
a great
nice
day.
To meet
Enjoy.
You.
You as well.
All right, thank you.
Emily gives me the little pointy finger. You're on. Welcome back to Into the Soup. I'm your host, Heidi Lee. I'm here with Emily King.
I love these headphones.
I'm so happy for you.
Like, I wish they made pillows out of them. My ears feel like they're on clouds.
Oh, I'm so happy. That's really cool.
Fantastic.
We're at Tarbell's with Mark Tarbell.
Hello.
Hello. And Matt or Matthew, do you care?
There's only two people that call me Matthew.
Okay.
It's my mom and one of our dishwashers.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't call anybody by their whole name. That's why I named my daughter Samantha, because it could be Sam, Sammy, but very rarely Samantha, unless I'm pissed.
Matt's fine.
Matt's fine. Yeah. Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about CCAP.
Great.
You are a CCAP prodigy.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you been here?
At Tarbell's?
Yeah.
Going on 7 years.
On 7 years.
Yeah, with Mark for 8. I worked for him up in Colorado as well.
Okay, I want to talk about that Colorado thing. So what was your first, you went to ACI?
No, I went to Johnson Wales.
Oh, you did? Oh, I'm sorry. I saw ACI. See, that's why I can't find any information on you, because you got an ACI sticker on your Facebook page.
I do?
Okay, yeah.
No.
You liked it, so
maybe
that's why
it's a fake
it's
Facebook
there.
Page.
Okay, Johnson and Wales. Did you get a full ride?
I did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it was very helpful.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah.
So how did that the competition part of it get you ready for, like, life in general?
Well, you know, I can still tourney, which is nice.
I
no,
can't.
It, you know, it was a great process, and I learned a ton. And, you know, really what they teach you is you have to work hard for whatever you want to work for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially in this industry.
Absolutely.
Not that you don't have to work hard in other industries, but I think this one's just a little bit more challenging.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a doctor or a dentist or, you know, a lawyer, that kind of thing, but in an industry that you're constantly pressed. It's a physical, emotional, mental deal.
Absolutely. You really, every day in, day out.
You have to put in the time and the, you know, you have to build your resume in order to move up, and which is different than if you go to law school and you're a lawyer.
And then you just get a job.
Right.
And then you kiss somebody's butt for 4 years.
Yeah. So much of it's skills-based growth, you know, in our business. So you can grow faster if your skills are more advanced, and if you're a quicker learner and you're a harder worker, then you get recognized, then chances are you'll move along a lot quicker.
Yeah, it's so much more about like what you can do and how fast you can do it, more than, you know, how much experience you have.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And, you know, the same thing that we say all the time, attitude.
Yeah.
Showing up on time, wanting to be there, wanting to learn, because there's always something new to learn.
Yes. Even if you do the same thing the same way for 22 years, you can still learn something. I'm convinced.
Is that from personal experience?
Well, yeah. Yes.
So what was your first job out of school?
Washing dishes. Well, I started washing dishes when I was 14. Out of culinary school, I was working for a place called Tante Louise, who was in Denver.
Okay. And so you went to the Johnson Wells in Denver?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was a great school, great program.
Yes, that
loved
was
every
great.
Second of it.
So, but did you grow up here, or did you grow up in Colorado?
I did.
Okay,
yeah,
so
you
were here.
Yeah,
okay.
Born and raised here, went to high school out here, went to EVIT, which is where I was introduced
Good
to
school.
The CCAP program.
Yeah, they're coming back on board. We're very happy about that.
Yes,
great.
I know.
Yeah.
We are all very happy about that. It's a great program.
Yeah, I actually went and talked to the kids, you know, talking to them about CCAP and how it works and, you know, and signing up. And we got a bunch that wanted to do it. You know, don't forget, your applications are due December 10th. You got to get them there. And that's a big deal. It's hard.
Absolutely.
You know, they're like 30 pages long.
Yes.
I didn't even look at it. I'm like, ew. And so we have a lot of people that can help you do that. So if you have a question about how you fill things out, they can always call. So do you have any other CCAP students here?
Not currently. We just had one leave to go to Johnson Wales after she won the same scholarship I got, actually.
Oh, fantastic. Cool. That is... Okay, so is she a recent high school graduate then?
Yeah, last year.
Far out.
Yeah.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a neat organization, and you guys are both participating in the CCAP Harvest Moon Feast.
Yes, we are, November 14th.
Yes, at the...
Desert Foothills Barn.
Thank you.
Which is up in Joe Maxson, Scottsdale Road.
Yes,
Scottsdale.
And you'll be parking across the street at McDonald's Ranch.
Which makes it very convenient.
Yes, it does. It's really nice. you can ride the hay wagon over.
Right, it's going to be really cool. They're going to have great transportation, and they've got a great band this year. It's actually one of Alice Cooper. You know, Alice Cooper has that charity called mm-hmm. Solid Rock, and they do a competition every year to find the best, you know, young band and of teenagers from the Solid Rock program. And that the winner of that is coming on. It's called Three Nations, I think is the name.
Three Nations?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's the name of the band, Three Nations. But
awesome.
It's one of the winners of the Solid Rock. Charity.
So is it going to be rock?
Well, I don't really
not
know.
Not that that's bad,
no,
but
I
it's
don't,
just interesting.
It, not necessarily. Okay. It just happens to be a band of really good young musicians.
Okay, that's so
one. I don't know. I don't know this band. I've not heard them, but they're
it's
always
a great parallel.
The music is always really good, and they're very charged with energy and usually in their teens, and it's really
okay.
cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. There's, I know I mentioned this before, but some friends of mine that are in Flavor, which is a jazz duo, and they are absolutely amazing. They're
which
going to
be
there
funny
as
right
well.
After this, the Alice
right?
Cooper thing. It's like, what?
But they're very talented, and yeah. I've gotten to listen to them a lot. So I got to skip back to this. So first job, washing dishes in Colorado. Then where'd you go?
After Colorado, came back down here, worked at Kai, which
oh,
is over,
okay.
in, over in Chandler.
Yep.
Then kind of bounced around the country a little bit, ended up in San Diego.
That's
worked
not
for
a bad place.
No, not at all. It was gorgeous. Loved to surf. Worked for a 2 Michelin star there, 2 Michelin star chef, and then ended up hooking up with Mark and moving back to Denver.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so then you worked for him. And what are your restaurants in Denver? Because I know you have at least one, right, or
they
two?
They were. Yes.
Oh, they were.
We had the
okay.
Oven and a place called Home that for a while was called Tarbell's, and that's where Chef Matt Fenton worked. And then that was it. Yeah.
So do you not have those restaurants in Denver
no,
anymore?
The leases on the oven, the last oven, was up a couple of years ago in the fall.
How come you dropped it?
Well, the reason I went up there was to grow a business, a new business, and do multiple locations of something that we developed as a pilot there in Denver. And that was the reason for us being there. And that didn't happen, which I'm grateful for.
Okay.
For a number of reasons. And but I did end up, you know, keeping that one oven open until the end of its lease, and that was really the start of that project up there.
Okay.
So we had that for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I saw, I read on you that you were addicted to opening restaurants.
I think at one point, you know, there it's very exciting to open restaurants. In fact, that's the most exciting time is the development, the design, the creation, getting a team together. It's also the hardest time. And frankly, if I can give kudos to Matt Fenton, you know, he's the kind of guy that, you know, you want to have as a partner or teammate in opening a restaurant, because a lot of it's just really tough. And there's a lot of decisions and changes and micro decisions that have to be made in the first month, 3 months, 9 months, and year that really cause it to be successful, which he and I just kind of went through at the tavern. And now it's doing very well. But
okay.
The first year was challenging.
So what do you think is like the biggest downfall of anybody, even an experienced person, opening a restaurant and making it successful? What do you think is some of the most difficult obstacles to overcome?
For me, not listening to the customers. You know, you have
oh, okay.
this big grand plan and your vision, and you know, you follow through with it. But sometimes you just have to listen to what people really want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's very well put.
Okay.
That and not having enough capital to get through that first few couple of years.
I think that's a big one, too, for people.
Mm-hmm.
And they just think they're going to start making money, and it's
mm-hmm.
like, but you're not.
It can happen, but it doesn't
sure.
happen. It's probably only 10 or less than 10% of the time that would happen, but usually it's you're feeding it for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I know that. I'm an entrepreneur myself. So then you hooked up with Mark. So you are the food and beverage director.
Yes,
okay.
Currently.
Currently.
Yes.
Is that changing?
That can change after the radio show. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Started as a chef.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you miss the cooking part, or do you still do that?
No, every day I miss it. Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can't. You can take me out of the kitchen, but you can't take the kitchen out of me. You know?
Okay.
It's kind of my mentality.
All right.
I love it. I love every second of it.
Are you going to go back to that, or are you guys going to have some change-ups? Or?
Someday. I get in there once or twice a week.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's a very chef-centric food and beverage director, I would say, and that's a good thing for Charbel's in the tavern. So, you know, he gets to have his – well, I can't speak for Matt, but there is a lot – there is more cooking time than an average F&B would do. Yes.
So you have the tavern, Charbel's, and then you have the wine shop as well.
Yes, and we cater. Yes.
And you
We have now admitted that we have a catering business.
You admitted it? I'm so sorry.
We've had one for a long time. I finally just admitted it.
Do you do like private dinners and stuff too for people?
Oh, yeah.
And go to their homes? And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Those are the most fun.
They are, yeah. I do that too. Not as much as I used to when I did it a lot. It's difficult. You know, it's not easy hauling all the equipment and getting everything ready and standing in front of people who are watching you like a TV show, and you're like, holy crap. but it is fun, and it's one of the things that really drives chefs, I think, because it's an instant gratification thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put a plate of food in front of somebody, and, you know, hopefully, and I'm sure pretty much all the time for you, there's this sense of appreciation that's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I mean, it's no different than standing up on a stage and singing a song.
Yes.
You know, with culinary art, right?
Yes. You know, I would agree. I mean, I have this discussion with people way smarter than me. Is cooking an art or a craft? You know, and it's a question I ask often to people when I want to have long intellectual conversations over a bottle of wine.
That's what you open with.
Yeah. We'll have to sit down and do that sometime.
Right.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Art, craft, combination?
Combination of both.
Okay.
I really believe that it's mostly science, to be honest with you. Once you understand the science, then you can cook anything.
Oh, hi, Jill LaVilla.
Do you guys know Joe?
Well, he's an alumni of he worked at Bar Mouche for me.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. Sous chef. Okay, yeah, I'm very happy for Joe.
He's a great guy.
Found his super life in San Francisco. So what do you think, craft, art?
I think that it's both as well. I think, you know, it's interesting because you can make furniture, and that is essentially a craft, but you can make furniture that's art as well. You know, and I think it's the same with food. I would draw that same analogy. The science part, actually, Matt introduced it, that part to me. I bought that book. What's it called again? You know, the big red book that has all
the big red book?
Yeah.
Oh, Harold McGee.
Right.
I can't remember the name of it.
Anyway, it's basically the science of food. And so I've been plowing through that. And it really is very interesting as someone who doesn't really, you know, look at it that way.
Right.
You know, I think it's really cool.
I used to teach cooking to kids in my house. And these are little guys. And that was the thing for them to understand was math and science. And how and the, you know, the very, very base things that they could grasp. And for them to go, oh, you know, it really helped them. And, these kids were tossing pasta and making pesto. I mean, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great. Working with little ones is fun. It's a challenge. Yeah. Especially when they're like 7. Can we eat that later? It's like, of course you can. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to have our soup of the week, and which is going to be really fun. And I have a Facebook friend who asked me to ask you a question, and we'll bring that on when we come back. This is Heidi Lee, you're into the soup. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
and I'm really glad. Boy, there's nothing better than eating pizza.
I know.
Sorry.
I feel like the body,
buttered toast.
Getcha.
I missed that.
The body does repair itself after a while, though,
yeah,
and that inflammation goes down. And
I'm grateful that I can.
Lucky.
And pasta.
Rub it in.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Oh,
welcome back.
We're just talking amongst ourselves.
This is Into the Soup, and I'm Heidi Lee. We have our soup. Did you taste it?
Not yet.
Why don't you?
I'll dive in. You take it away.
Okay. Emily's going to dive into the soup. So our soup of the week, hang on, is brought to you by
CCAP,
Careers Through Culinary Arts Program, and I have to read this because I can't remember it all. CCAP is a not-for-profit that promotes and provides food service career opportunities for underserved youth through culinary arts education and employment. Ta-da!
Well said.
And our soup is Mark Charbel's, Matt Fenton's.
No, he blamed it on me. It's just tomato soup, so it's just tomatoes. And
oh, really?
Cream.
Technically, I made it, but it's his recipe.
Yeah. It's, okay, guys. So, you know, we can just don't okay. fight about it. So, I heard it. Is this your mom's tomato soup?
I wouldn't say. I think I made it a long time ago and liked it, but and I probably foisted it on them because they were. It probably doesn't have garlic.
It does not have garlic.
Yeah.
It shocking. Does not have. How is it, Em? She's just over there just going,
Well, I think tomato soup should taste like tomato and cream.
Yes.
And that's essentially what's in this.
Do you use tomatoes or do you use canned tomatoes?
Tomatoes, not tomatoes.
Oh, excuse me.
Tomatoes.
Tomato.
Tomatoes. Yeah?
Yes.
Tomatoes.
Yes, this soup is one of the reasons tomatoes? I like working here.
What?
This soup is one of the reasons I like working here.
Is that right?
Yes. It's so easy and simple, but delicious.
Okay, so that's another thing. So let's go to that real quick. I'm going to have a bite of that in a second. So as I was Googling you and stalking you, I love where it says upscale restaurant and bar serving American fare paired with global wines in a chic space. We had this conversation on the show a couple of weeks ago. I know. See, I always throw this up and you're like, huh? I didn't
know. No, it sounds great.
So what's American fare to you? Because we were talking about this a couple of like three shows ago and nobody could identify it.
Well,
what's American
I'll tell
fare?
You the story of how that came about. I opened and I really just wanted to serve foods I like to eat. And, you know, I had the, you know, 3-star training and all of that stuff in France. And I totally admire that food and actually loved it and was passionate about it at one time. But for the restaurant, I just wanted to have an everyday restaurant serving foods I like to eat. And for 6 months, people said, well, what is your restaurant? Actually sitting in my restaurant asking what my restaurant was. And I'm like, well, I don't know. And it kind of evolved in saying, well, it's American. And I did that sort of as a joke because what is American? No one knew, but they all nodded and smiled. And I was like, okay, well, it's American then.
So it's my question to ask.
Yeah, right. But it is kind of natural to say that because we are a melting pot. Americans are way more, they don't have rules when it comes to cooking. They can use influences from any part of the world and combine them together in interesting and great ways.
As opposed to?
Well, France, where I was trained,
okay, right.
Or some other countries, but where they're opposed to that. But so American food, it really is American in that we do that. But so the premise of Tarbell's is Mediterranean classics combined with American classics, you know, which we have mac and cheese and pot roast and, you know, things like that, or grits or whatever, or tomato soup and grilled cheese.
I thought you said it was tomato.
Oh, tomato. Tomato. To me, it's tomato. It depends what side of the country am I. So but I would like to hear Matt's take on American food.
Okay.
I think he covered it pretty well, but it really isn't anything, to be honest with you.
The only thing anybody could ever come up with that they thought was really uniquely American was Cajun food.
And I would argue that, but because that had a tremendous amount of French
influence. Yeah, it has a tremendous amount of French influence.
Yeah, we literally just talked about that yesterday in the restaurant.
Did you really?
Yeah,
right.
Because we were making gumbo.
Okay.
Yeah. We feel as a whole at the restaurant that it's mostly French and West African influenced.
Yes, and I would agree with that.
Mostly French. Oh, and West African. For Cajun.
Yeah. And you might throw some Caribbean as they pass through, but that's about
as they pass through.
Yeah. Going into New Orleans, yeah.
Sure. And it's interesting because Caribbean food is really nothing like Cajun food at all.
No.
It's very, very different.
Yes. What would be truly American? You know, because there was a lot of, the native indigenous people before the Dutch settled here in like the 1500s, 1600s, you know, which they were really the first to create civilization here, primarily on Manhattan Island. But and they did a lot of research. But the indigenous people knew a lot about botany. They knew a lot about indigenous plant varieties of species of animals, how to eat them, what to eat. So we think we came in here, like turkeys were wild and eaten routinely by the indigenous people, and as were deer and rabbit and pheasant and all of that stuff.
And fish.
Mm-hmm. And fish, of course. So all of that was cultivated and eaten here before we, as Europeans, before the Europeans arrived. And I presume before all the Norsemen and everyone before did. So American food may have its basis in some of that, I think.
They shared. So
they shared all of that knowledge.
Okay. Freely. Do you have a lot of cookbooks?
I do. I collect books because I like to look at the spines, which is the what holds them together.
Uh-huh.
And but, you know, as Matt will attest, I actually am an experiential learner, and I've actually never read a cookbook. I'm trying to read that Howard McGee thing about science of food. And I do it like I would do any sort of ritual every day. I force myself to read 4 pages.
Of that book?
Of that book.
Okay.
It'll be my first cookbook once I finish
really?
The thousand.
Do you think you'll ever write one then?
I would love to. Yeah, I've got one started, and I've been working on it for 10 years. And
I got one of those, too.
Yeah, but, you know, for me, it's like, you know, part of me is like, what more is there to say about food, which I would argue nothing. But on the other hand, there is a story to be told about Tarbell's now that it's almost 22 years old. And, you know,
wow.
that may be worth a unique look.
There's always a story with people's experiences with food. You know, that's always going to be unique. People feel
that
about
is
it.
The most
you like that?
Yeah. Tomato soup I've ever had in my life.
That's mind blowing, right?
Well, it's super simple.
So give us the technique, method, all that. Tell me how you did it, because I mean, I can guess, but I don't want to.
I will say simplicity is a complex thing. I often say that,
mm-hmm.
And probably the biggest challenge, and I think Matt would agree with this, that I have here at Tarbell's is keeping it simple. And we all want to overchef things. I was there once as well.
Okay.
When I was younger, but. You know, you learn eventually the 5 ingredients can make something pretty great.
It's like 3 chords in the truth.
That's right. Great music is
that's amazing.
Built on that.
And so, tell me how you did it, how you make it.
We just sweat down onions, add tomatoes, cook that until it's nice and soft, and then add cream, puree it, and season it. Boom. Super easy.
Yeah, it's great. I wouldn't put garlic in it.
I don't, and we can go have a whole show on that.
Really?
Matt can probably
well, tell me about what you're talking about. What do you mean?
Well, you want to talk about garlic? My opinion of garlic?
Okay, let's
I'd love
this
to
this is
great.
This is why I love my job. You want to talk about garlic? He kind of gets into defensive posture over here.
No. I'm
do you
not
want
defensive.
The short version or the long version?
How much time do we have?
Oh, we have plenty of time.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Take
well,
it away.
I'm the king of the short version, so quite
okay.
simply, we sell romance.
Yes. Boom.
Okay.
Boom. Drop the mic.
Totally
drop the mic.
That.
Well, you know, I love garlic, and I say that a lot because every chef that has come through here has somehow spread the word that I don't like garlic among the cooks, and it isn't true. I do love it, but I think it is a misused element to food because it's very dominating, and of course, as soon as it's cut and starts to oxidize, it gets very, I think, nasty, if I can use that word.
Sure you can.
And, it's hard to digest, and it comes back up and mm-hmm. causes breath problems and all kinds of stuff. But so basically, fresh garlic, you know, used immediately in appropriate ways. If you want garlic flavor, then
mm-hmm.
use it. If you want depth and a robust depth to a sauce or something, then cook it to oblivion and include it liberally if you want to a sauce dish or whatever, and it will add something of great depth. But it won't taste like garlic.
Okay.
It won't have that quote-unquote garlic taste. So we don't cut garlic and use it in oil and save it for days, and you know, because it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it gets and all of a sudden when you put one nib of that oil or that garlic into a dish, all of a sudden it becomes aromatically and taste wise garlic, bitter,
right, okay.
bitter garlic, not good.
What
garlic.
About what about roasted garlic where it becomes sweet
again,
and same thing?
No problem. We roast it
okay.
and puree. We just did a new pizza that's on the menu today it's a white clam pizza that has roasted garlic in it. And that does add some character that's necessary, I believe, to that dish. But it's balanced out by a creamy bechamel, you know, a little bit of parmesan to
okay.
give some edge to it, and then, of course, clams.
Okay. Was it your idea to throw out there for your menu things that seasons that change with the seasons and things that seasons don't change?
It actually evolved into that,
neat.
And I'm sure Matt's smiling over there.
Because,
you know, one of the great things about having a restaurant 22 years, there are things that people that are beloved and
mm-hmm.
truly they're part of people's lives and it's part of their
neat?
Soul. It's wonderful.
Really?
It is a challenge though, because you know, when you have young culinarians and I like to be innovative and change, you know, you feel fear that the menu will ultimately either get too big or they'll be just, you'll be stuck doing, you know, Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
which has its own merit, but it's a
sure.
different, it's a different approach. You have to have a different culture in the kitchen. It's a very different approach to how you organize things. But so what we did is I wanted to give ourselves permission to change things. So I put a section very clearly that we would change these. And then I wanted to give security to those people that have these beloved dishes right. that they won't change. So yeah. it was really very clearly messaging what we will always have for you, and thank you for that.
So that also comes from listening to your customer.
Absolutely.
Yes,
there will be.
Yeah, and but as people change and get older, they won't be necessarily be the people coming to your restaurant anymore. So you have to grow in other ways so that these emerging, mm-hmm. I don't like this word at all, foodies, it just doesn't seem like, I don't know, pardon me, are going to want to see different things from you because that's how you grow as a person and yes. and an artist and a craft.
Well, yes.
You have yeah. to say something. We can't see you nodding your head. You know,
I mean, it's just, again, the good news is Tarbell's has been around 22 years, and the good news is these are our challenges.
Mm-hmm.
How do we walk that tightrope line? How do we balance things out? How do we identify when classics are no longer classics? And we're always trying to develop new home runs. And, you know, Matt's created a bunch, I mean, that have become instant classics.
Like what? What's an example of one?
Bacon candy salad, if I can speak
right,
for
yeah.
you.
The
carpaccio
candy, yeah.
plate, which is Matt's. And these are things that we thought would be on a week, and here they are, what, a year and a half or so?
Much longer than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. That's really
obviously
cool.
I have a very Absolutely. Loose sense on time. I do know that we've been, it is true, we're almost 22 years old. That I'm certain of.
That's great. So here's some other ones out there. I don't know who called them this, but you're the chameleon of Camelback.
Oh, I don't know.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. These were just little comments okay. on somewhere on the internet. Elegantly comfortable.
That's nice. I think the chameleon is that we don't try to peg ourselves in one genre or another, culinary
okay.
genre. And I'm carefully, and I'm always pushing Matt to try new things that may have different influences. And, you know, in the past I've said no Asian because it really is hard to go with wine, but we were doing a lot more with that now. And, of course, I like everything south of the border, so we do, you know, flavors from Mexico. We just try to find new, you know, home runs, and we're not really bound by anything.
Well, I think it makes a difference for you because you've been here for 23 years, mm-hmm. and you're trusted. So there's going to be more acceptance and people willing to try something new because you've been doing it for
no,
so
No, we found
long.
Our limit. We wholesale. we wholesale 2 years ago in October, we wholesale changed the whole menu and took all the classics off. And that was exciting.
Really?
Risky.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I've never had people walk out of the restaurant without
kidding.
Dining, and it happened.
You're kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. But
so did you put them all back?
Eventually,
okay.
not right away. We learned that what was important, really, truly, and what wasn't, and eventually they've all found their way back on. Not
well,
all, but because there were some things that never came back. But, most the things that we absolutely couldn't ignore
okay.
as classics came back.
All right. That's all right. What's
yeah.
your favorite part of the pig, Matt?
The cheek, actually.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
I would agree cheeks. With that.
Yeah.
Would you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. We make an awesome al pastor out of pig cheek.
Can you explain that to our listeners?
Al pastor, yeah. It's basically pork and roasted pineapple, and we just slow roast the pork and dice pineapple and onions and garlic and lots of chilies and peppers and reduce it all down until it's delicious.
I don't know that there's a part of the pig that isn't really.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think equal to that would be the belly part. You
the
know,
belly
pretty
part.
Pretty much in any way.
I had a killer pork belly taco yesterday from Adam Allison.
Oh.
What?
I'm just so jealous.
I know. Oh, I mean, some of them were so great. Long line fish tacos. They use basuai.
Mm.
Oh, it was perfect. They did, I mean, there was a lot of really good talent. And one of the ones that I loved the most was the one from P.F. Jags.
Wow,
Their taco was
jicama shell,
jicama.
Right? Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they sliced it real thin, put it in water so it became more malleable, and then put their kung pao chicken in it.
I'm intrigued.
It was really great.
Adam was the one who won, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He won
yes.
the grand champion one?
I know he won second in one and first in another category.
Okay. Okay.
So he was actually up for Best New Chef in Phoenix for the Phoenix New Times.
Oh, wow.
He didn't get it, but yeah, he's quite a talent.
Who did?
Gio.
Gil?
Gio.
Oh, Gio, good. Oh,
Gio
yeah, he's
Oso.
Very good, yeah.
She keeps throwing fingers at me.
I'm,
huh?
I'm just trying to confuse you. Did you get to see the Chihuahua, I think it was like Chihuahua costume contest or something?
No.
Okay, I saw a picture of it. I think Debbie had posted some
pictures.
There
was a donkey. They were leading around a donkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and it wasn't a real happy
risky.
Donkey. I know,
they
right?
Be, and they have spicy temperaments.
I know they do. I felt so bad for the one person because all she had was a shovel and a bucket. And I'm like, okay, I would never have that
I did that
job.
In a parade one time.
A shovel and a bucket?
I got conned into it. Yep.
Oh, fun stuff.
Here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, here in Phoenix.
Yeah, really she's cool. A local girl.
Yep.
She's a local girl. All right, we're going to take a break and come back for our last segment. We're almost done. I'm going to eat some of this soup and some of the sandwich because Emily can't. Sorry, girly. This is a Heidi Lee. Oh, and you will find the, you have to sing the .com part. You guys ready? You'll find the recipe for the Tarbell's tomato soup on IntoTheSoup.com. Awesome. We'll be back with a weekly wet. Don't touch that dial. Hey, this is Heidi Lee. Welcome back to Into the Soup. We'd like to tip our hats to Local First Arizona, Shift 10. Shift 10% of your spending to those locally locals we love so much. Help our community and our economy. Our weekly wet your whistle, this is so awesome, is a Long Island iced tea from what, Matt?
From a tap system.
From a tap system, that's what it is.
What?
I still forgot.
Mind blown.
I know, from a tap system. That's so right. How come you went into that?
Well, it just allows us to be a lot more consistent.
Okay.
And we're having fun with it.
Okay, so consistent as far as flavor, consistent as far as quantity of alcohol, all
quantity,
that kind of stuff.
Execution.
Well, because that's a big deal.
Building it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have an old-fashioned, a Manhattan, and this...
This Long Island iced tea.
Okay, and dude, this is... I haven't had a Long Island iced tea for a long time, because the last time I had one, I was with my brother, and I was about 19, and he didn't tell me what they were, and I had four.
Whoops.
Emily goes, is that when you fell off the bar stool? I'm like, no. That was Palma de Mallorca. So
what is this? I need to see this machine. Like, I feel like it should go into movie theaters.
Well, there you go. Absolutely.
Keep things very exciting.
What's in here,
well, it's
buddy?
Real, it's a,
it's a classic Long Island recipe. We omit the tequila just because we feel it's a little strong, and we use a orange liqueur in there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Perfect. And we make our own cola. Basically, you know, instead of the splash of Coke, we're adding our own cola. And
cool.
That's really it, to be honest.
How do you make your own cola?
We use, like, a simple syrup mixture, and then, you know, Coke says there's 50-some-odd ingredients in there, but really it's just vanilla and a little sassafras and some cherry. And
it's really, that's really a phenomenal cocktail. Thank you very much. I can't believe in all these years we've been doing the show, we never got a Long Island iced tea on here. Well, I don't think I'm going to finish that before I get behind the
Mikey,
wheel.
Mikey, our mixologist,
Mikey,
is really...
Oh, Mikey, mixologist.
Right,
he's
actually our spirit doctor. That's his official title, Mikey.
Like, does
that's
he
his
have
official
some
job
drums
title.
Or
yes,
a
but he really, you know, he first of all, he has a culinary background. And so he's really great at making bases and batches. And he has a real culinary sense through cocktails he creates. And really, his vision right now is to really do classics.
Okay.
But do them in a way
that they're
respected.
Mm-hmm.
So... We'll probably have some really interesting stuff.
Like, I mean, I think a lot of people now, you know, craft cocktails, right? Well, they're really taking
big.
A lot. Yeah, they're taking a lot of different herbs and, you know, the more savory side of things and adding them too.
What's good about Tarbell is we respect your time, so you can have two craft cocktails here in the 20 minutes it usually takes to make one. So.
Okay, so that, and so, again, we sing. You'll find the recipe for this beautiful, beautiful cocktail on Into the Soup. .com. Thanks, Mark. All right. So did you arm wrestle McGrath for that? Or what?
Actually,
I was up for that. You beat me out.
Seriously?
No.
I didn't know who else did it. I didn't know who else did an audition. I mean, I was called, or we were called.
So this is Check Please, guys, on PBS.
Check Please, Arizona, yes. So we were called this summer, and I wasn't here for it. I went on a little trip this summer, so I didn't hear about it till later, but we were called to do an audition. So just with that, I presumed there was going to be a change. And when I went down there, they said, you know, we don't know what we're doing, and we can't really talk about it, but we want to audition you. So I said, and some other people, like, apparently. Why didn't they get you to audition?
I don't know.
Well, I'm so glad, because I would have
lost.
I've been
wanting to be on that show forever. But, I think it'd be so fun.
Yeah.
They asked me to be a guest, and then I told them what I did, and they're like, yeah, no, never mind.
No, you should. I don't see why
that'd
not.
That'd be great.
But anyway, so I auditioned, and I was awarded the gig. And, yeah, I mean, Robert did a great job. I mean, the show is number one on PBS mm-hmm. with him for 6 years. And so I'm really, all I can do is screw it up. I hope they're not listening down there at ASU.
No, that's what I don't believe. Yeah. I think you're going to be great at
it. Well, I've taped six.
You're very genuine.
Yeah.
And that's what it means. And obviously, you know what you're talking about.
Hey, maybe not. We scripted him today.
All right. Yeah. Well.
So when do you start?
I did. We're taping now. Okay. We'll have 13 shows taped by January. And it starts on January 5th on Thursday night, prime time. I don't really know what time. But sometime in the evening.
Time. Is it once a week or once a month?
I believe it's once a week for 12 or 13 weeks, and that is the season. And
oh, then, really? Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Wow. All right.
Can you get that, like, that box set?
Emily
used to do reruns and all that stuff, too.
Yeah. Em used to do, when we were doing film production and stuff, Emily used to go with another one of our interns, and they would do what we call dining on a dime. And what'd we give you? $20? $30?
Something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they would go find these hole-in-the-wall joints and get food, take pictures of themselves, and then we put it all to music and make it this montage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is cool.
You had hit some pretty interesting places. What was that joint that was off the 17?
I can't even remember.
It looks like a barn.
Yeah, it's definitely some sawdust on the floor. And yeah. It's one of those places you hit on your way up north.
And it had like a piece of meat that hung over the side of the plate that was
impressive.
Breaded and deep fried.
Pretty sure it was a pork chop.
Sounds can of gravy.
Bread and deep fry anything, I'll eat it. Yeah.
I like deep fried foods. And actually, there weren't a lot of those at the taco. What was your taco? You guys won, you said 1/3?
Yeah, for our
yesterday?
Al Pastor, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we also did barbacoa, too.
Oh, you did too. Okay, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so it was good. Was it hot for you there?
It was a little warm.
Okay.
It was a little warm.
Yeah.
He used the word hot yesterday when he told me how hot it was. But other words,
was,
too. But
yeah, it was pretty warm. I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't wear shorts, and I was in jeans. Mm. And I'm just like, and then all these teeny little girls in teeny little clothes. And I'm like, wow. But it was actually
well,
it was a big
you know.
Success. One thing I wanted to say, and I thought this was so awesome, you had said you wanted a bruschetta-free wine bar.
Yes.
God love you.
Yeah, but it's just so...
It's so...
I have another... We internally have another word for... bruschetta. It's beep shetta.
It's what?
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep
whatever.
Shetta? Yeah. Okay.
Something.
Yeah.
But, you know... I'm not saying
it has its place.
It does have its place.
You know, you can get pretty creative with,
of course.
You know, three things on
there,
stick.
There's essentially nothing wrong with it. But, you know, I thought, you know, we're going to really, the whole purpose was to be positive and serve real food.
Okay.
You know, and we bring in real cheeses and we do things like, you know, it's fun. You know, and we have, that is a playground over there, culinarily speaking, because it has everything.
So what do you do over there?
Asian,
as far as like.
Not faux, but faux Asian.
Faux Asian. What kinds of things are on your menu at the tavern?
Matt's famous top 10 in the country hamburger, the American classic. That's over there. We do a lamb burger. We do tacos, both
al
pastor and barbacoa. We do noodle dishes with rice noodles, which you can have, Emily.
High five.
Yes. We have avocado toast, of course, cheese and salumi boards and. I mean, it's pretty diverse.
Do you make your own salumis and charcuterie?
We do some.
Okay.
We usually have three selections. At least one is usually house-made.
Okay. Have you guys heard of these mangalitsa pigs? A mangalitsa pig?
Oh, yes, I've heard of them.
Okay, you should get one.
Yeah.
They're pretty neat, yeah. They're kind of expensive.
Are you getting paid by like the mango?
No, I just love it. It was just such a great experience. I just want to share it with these guys.
Emily.
I know I talked about it.
Thanks for piping in there. I had that same thought.
I swear.
Well, maybe they will pay me one day when someone says, "Hey," but it's AZ Fine Swine, and they've got them out in Queen Creek. And I had some of it. They gave me a bunch, and then friends of mine, Jeremy Pacheco, gets it, and he made it like a ragu.
Mm-hmm.
What are the big, thick, wide noodles called? It starts with a T.
Tagliatelle.
Yeah.
But they're not really that wide. But tagliatelle is.
Tagliatelle, yeah. And it was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really fun. I love it. So what's coming up aside from the
Check Please
C-Cap
Arizona
thing?
Oh, the C-Cap thing
Check
on
Please
November
Arizona
14th. Buy your tickets.
Up.
There's a lot coming up. I'm actually leaving this week to go on a bucket list trip to Alba. We're going to go white truffle hunting. And,
wow.
Yes, I'm very excited about
with
it.
Pig.
Yeah, yeah, probably a Mangalese pig. Whatever, I probably mispronounced it. But anyway, and we're going to do a white truffle dinner here in November when I bring back, when the truffles come in.
Wow.
Yes.
How fun is that?
Very excited.
Wow.
I've always wanted to do it, never done it.
When are you? Are you taking your family with you, or is
no,
it a chef
this is
thingy?
It's a guy thing. It's just me and three other friends.
Okay.
And you know, we're probably gonna have a few good meals too, and maybe a
you
couple
think?
Of nice wines. But it is the whole purpose of the trip is to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting.
Very excited. Yeah.
Let's keep us posted.
Always
when you're
wanted to
have
it.
That dinner.
How do
yes.
you? Well, obviously a pig would help you, but how do you? Otherwise, well, are you looking for certain trees?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to learn a lot more about it. I know okay. with black truffles, they tend to like oak forest, mm-hmm. and they tend to like the Provençal area. You know, just north of the Mediterranean, and then in Périgord, which is just north of the Bordeaux area. And that's where they naturally occur, in the forest floors, you know, mm-hmm. under the dirt. And the pigs go after them naturally, but they eat them. And that's the challenge. We're going to be using dogs, because dogs can be trained to find the scent, but they have
yeah.
no interest in eating them.
Right.
And at, you know, $3,200 a pound, you don't want, you know, them to get eaten.
Nom, nom,
right.
nom.
No, that sounds like a great trip. What are you doing when he's gone? Running the joint? Giving people the stare
pretty,
down?
Yeah, pretty much got to make sure this place doesn't burn down.
We seem very happy here.
Although Matt absolutely. Tried good. To the other day.
Yeah,
but
I did,
we won't
actually,
go into that.
Yeah.
You tried to burn the place
I,
down?
I did. It was not my finest day.
Oh, well, we all have those. Yeah. Did someone give you the icy stare when you...
No, no. He was, as usual, working a ton, which he's the hardest working man in the show business here, but was here early. No one was around, apparently, and he saved the day because nothing really happened.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Great. Looks like you'll have a job for a while then.
Yeah.
Are you going to open up anything else? Or are you going to kind of...
I'm open to it. I mean, it took a couple years for the tavern to really take off, and I'm really going to enjoy that, you know, not stressing out. I mean, I'll stress about a lot of things, but just not developing a new business. And I really just want to make this the greatest food and wine, you know, corner on this corner.
It's pretty neat. It's kind of like a Monopoly
Arizona,
board over here.
Yeah, it is. I think there's so much more we can do with these three restaurants that we haven't done yet. There's space that is underutilized over at the tavern and wine store that we have ideas for. So, you know, we're just going to continue to have fun with what we have here. It's just is really
good.
Nice to have it all under one roof.
Good. And the holidays are coming.
Yes, they are.
And the holidays. And we'll enjoy your trip.
Thank you.
That's great. Have a good flight. It was really nice to sit down and talk with you.
Likewise. Thank
we
you
have
for
not done that. And we're going to roast somebody again one of these days.
We've got to. Bo is ripe for it.
I think it'll be fun. Okay, you guys, that was awesome. We're going to be back next week with a trip to Uptown Farmers Market. And with any luck, Jeremy Pacheco will be sitting down with us for a bit. And we're going to talk with some of the vendors that make that their home on every Saturday from 9 to 1 o'clock. Emily King.
Heidi Lee.
Digging those headphones.
I really am.
I am so happy.
I'm not taking them
off. There's nothing better than giving a present that keeps on giving.
It'll keep me working for you.
All right, take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. This is Heidi Lee. Peace out.